This is an I Am Listening original podcast.
I think also there's an element, and I'm a strong believer in negativity in politics, that people tend to prefer to vote against something than vote for it. And so the government, having gone off to a very rocky start, as is universally agreed, I think, is going to see itself punished. And that's a national thing that always feeds into local elections. Mm. The question, of course, is whether people will turn from Labour or towards the Conservatives or to reform.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast, your go-to source for insightful discussions on local and national political matters. Join us as we take a deep dive into local government across the county. Find out what the key decision makers have to say, what your money is being spent on, and how the party's policies could affect how we live. Plus, don't miss our regular feature, Westminster Watch, where we dissect the latest developments and decisions shaping the political landscape in the heart of the UK's capital. Engage with us as we delve into the issues that matter to you and explore the dynamic world of politics from a Kent perspective.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast. In the week, Reform UK planted its flag in Medway, the Conservatives at County Hall received some good news, and the government talked tough on immigration. My name is Simon Finlay, local democracy reporter covering Kent County Council, and with me is Robert Buddy, who looks after Medway Council.
Hello.
Regular contributors Dan Essen and Nikki White are away this week, but we're joined by Kent Online news editor Sean Delaney, who will be taking a look at what's been happening at Westminster.
Hello.
Right, and a special guest we'll be hearing from later is KCC Councillor Sean Holden. Robert, first up, what's been happening in your day job there in Medway?
Well, it was a bad week for Medway Labour after the news Kent would not be prioritised for devolution. The three by-elections for council seats did not go their way either. Labour managed to hold on to one seat in Gillingham South, but the two seats in Rochester East and Warren Wood went to Reform UK candidates John Vai and David Finch. John Vai received 802 votes and David Finch got 870, while Labour's Caroline Hart and Robert Wyatt received 781 and 717 respectively. So there's only 21 votes in it.
Was this expected?
Yes and no. Nobody could ignore the national picture, which certainly suggests that Reform are on the rise. However, these seats are strong Labour. Rochester East had never been anything other than Labour for decades, even before Medway Council was created. The Tories placed third in both contests, but speaking with members of that group at the count, they had accepted they were never really likely to win. Turnouts are never great in council elections anyway, but Gillingham South saw only 16.4% of people eligible voting, and Rochester East and Warren Wood saw only 24.4%.
Mm. And how does that affect the makeup of the council, though?
So out of 59 councillors, this means Labour has 29, Conservatives 20, the Independent Group 5, Reform UK 3, because the former ungrouped Independent councillor Chris Spalding joined Reform quietly the night before the by-election, and ungrouped Independents 2. Now, this technically means that Labour lose control of the council, as there are 30 councillors not in their group to their 29. However, the two ungrouped Independents, Councillor Satinder Shokar and Councillor Stephen Hubbard, were elected as Labour members and are currently suspended pending an investigation into an incident at the group's 2023 Christmas party. They consistently vote with the Labour group and are likely both hoping to be readmitted. So effectively, Labour still has a majority of one. In terms of a reaction, obviously celebration from Reform, who said it was time to shake things up and challenge the complacency of the two main parties. Not a great deal from the Tories, who seem to be broadly ignoring the fact that they were leapfrogged by Reform, placing a distant third in both wards. While Labour said it was disappointing to lose by, quote, a handful of votes, they emphasised the narrow margin of the Reform win. It's an interesting result and might give an indication of what could happen at the KCC elections coming up.
Sean, so what's been happening up at Westminster?
Well, never far from the headlines, it's a controversial matter of small boats and illegal journeys made across the Channel to Dover. Labour's new Border Security, Asylum and Immigration Bill, which scraps the Conservatives' Rwanda plan, passed its first hurdle in the Commons on Monday. It will introduce new criminal offences and hand counter-terrorist-style powers to police enforcement agencies to crack down on people smuggling gangs, bringing migrants across the English Channel. Mike Tapp, Labour MP for Dover and Deal, told the debate that the government had deported 16,400 people who have no right to be here, more in 6 months than the last administration managed in an entire year, he claimed. He went on to say you wouldn't wait for terrorists to carry out their plans before acting, and the bill would give the government the necessary powers to do the same to stop smuggling gangs before they reach our shores.
That sounds all well and good. So why has it proved controversial?
Well, it's actually changes to the guidance rather than the law itself, which has caused tension this week. In particular, the Home Office stands accused of quietly blocking thousands of refugees from applying for citizenship if they arrive in the UK via small boats or stowed away in trucks. Guidance for staff assessing people who have applied for citizenship, updated on Monday, says that applicants who have made a dangerous journey will normally be refused citizenship. But one of Mr. Tapp's Labour colleagues, Walthamstow's Stella Creasy, said while she supports the latest bill, she thought the guidance change was counterproductive to the government's message of being proud of our country and the role it has played in supporting those fleeing persecution.
So what did the Home Office have to say in response to this?
Well, the government says applications decide on a case-by-case basis and policies are kept under review with rules already in place to prevent those arriving illegally from gaining citizenship. It said the updated guidance further strengthens measures to make it clear that anyone who enters the UK illegally, including small boat arrivals, faces having a British citizenship application refused.
So what's been happening on your patch, Simon?
Well, this week I've seen the budget come up at County Hall and the race for the election on May the 1st has already begun. There's a fair degree of nervousness and uncertainty all around the elected members at County Hall, but just as a reminder, the Conservatives have been in charge of KCC since 2021 and a fair few years before that. And they currently have around about 60 of the 80-odd members at County Hall. But national polling has counted against them, as does running election off the back of, you know, cuts to services and threatened cuts to even more. So, I mean, let's not forget the hoo-ha over proposed closures of rubbish tips and libraries when the deputy leader of the council said there were actually too many libraries.
So how is it looking?
Well, the problem for all the parties, really, in many ways, is Reform UK. Not just their presence at the election, but the effect the party will have on just about every single division in the council. However, I understand the Conservatives have conducted a fairly private, big private poll to try and find out what the trends are. Up to this point, many backbenchers were pretty gloomy about their chances of re-election, and around about 30 of the sitting Tories are actually standing down anti-election in any case. But according to this survey, which is carried across Kent and of all voter types, not just Conservative voters, and they suggest several things. About a third of the Labour vote might disappear to Reform UK, and if this is so, the handful of councillors that Labour does have may well be lost, and this is according to one source, and there may be a significant body of Reform voters who are actually prepared to switch back to the Conservatives for the council elections and the council elections alone, and this could see the Tories back in power at County Hall, but by how much no one else seems to know.
So how accurate are these findings?
Well, it's a poll, so nobody really knows, but it's a poll, and anyone who has filled out a survey like this is the sort of person who is likely to vote. And it was a large survey, not a few hundred, but, you know, in the thousands of responses. But the findings will have given many moribund members some good cheer. What they haven't worked out is how big an effect Reform will have on the overall result.
Is there a topic that you would like to be discussed on the Kent Politics podcast? Perhaps you've got a question for one of our panel, or you'd like to comment on a hot topic in local or national government. Get in touch by emailing or sending a voice note to kentpoliticspodcast@thekmgroup.co.uk.
Conservative councillor Sean Holden has been on Kent County Council for 12 years. The May elections at County Hall will be his last. He's decided to call today and he's here to tell us why. Sean, many thanks for joining us again.
That's okay. Simon, I'm pleased to be here.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for coming. A lot's happened since we last spoke on the podcast. The devolution paper has been launched and KCC is likely to be no more in a couple of years' time. And these elections are likely to be for a Holding administration until local government is reorganised. Is that why you've decided to stand down?
I know, I didn't know that this was coming so fast. It came upon us all of a sudden, only 9 days before Christmas, from the government saying, well, we're going to have the most massive change in local government for 50 years at least, if not ever. And we want your answer by the 9th of January, from the 16th of December. And Kent County Council did vote to abolish itself, in effect, on the 9th of January. But the government's now rejected its offer to do that. That is not why I have decided to stand down, because I decided that about a year ago, that I'd done my bit. I've done 12 years on Kent County Council, and I've done 16 years on Tunbridge Wells Borough Council. And I did 4 years on Hart District Council in Hampshire before that. So I think I've done my bit.
Yeah.
And what I've decided is that I, with my wife, Karina, are going to go traveling. I'm going to play in my hobbies and go scuba diving and do all that.
Sounds very tiring. Kent missed out on the chance of being on the government's fast track to a new elected mayor for the whole of the county. Clearly, the local government minister, Jim McMahon, thought Kent wasn't ready. Do you agree with that?
I am puzzled, as are all of the Conservative group on Kent County Council, as to the government's explanation of why it rejected Kent alone among the southeastern county councils.
Just for my understanding and the listener's understanding, can you explain to me what it was? Because I've read it time and again and I can't understand what they were actually trying to say in the explanation. But would you sort of give it from your perspective?
Well, you're not alone. Neither do we. I should just say, so that people get an idea of what we're talking about. The government said, if you want to have lots of more money, extra powers, then you have to decide to go on the fast track. And that means that you will have what are called unitary authorities. So Kent County Council will be split up into, say, three, possibly four unitary authorities, which means that there's no district councils anymore. And also you have to have an executive mayor of Kent who would make lots of important decisions and have a big, big budget like the mayor of London. And that was what was on offer. Mm-hmm. But we had to ask, for some bizarre reason, if we could cancel the elections for May in order to do this, because they thought so much rearrangement is going to have to go on, the elections will get in the way. That was what was at issue. And I disagreed with the idea of having in there. I think it's profoundly undemocratic. I think it's profoundly undemocratic to cancel elections. And so I didn't want to go down that road. But the council decided, most of the Conservatives, that it did want to go down that road to get the extra powers and money, the devolved powers. We were then told by the government only last week, the end of last week, that for a little of last week, that we hadn't been included in the first phase of this change, although the councils around us, bordering us, that includes East Sussex and Surrey and Hampshire and, well, who else? West Sussex, have all been accepted. And the reason the government gave was because there's a bit of a disparity between Kent County Council's area and the existing unitary authority in Medway. And we think, well, why is that a problem when Hampshire, for instance, has three such unitary authorities in its area and Essex has two and East Sussex has one? So why that should be a problem for Kent, we simply don't understand. In fact, I will be blunt about that. I think that's a lie. I don't believe that that is the reason they've cancelled it. But we don't know why they've done it. We suspect there may have been something from the Treasury that said, oh, we're getting a bit scared about the amount of money that's going to go into this thing, so let's drop out the biggest one. Or there was some politicking. The Labour people on the County Council didn't like the idea of cancelling the elections. And there is a Labour MP who's sitting as a County Councillor, and she now spoke to the government. We don't know why they hadn't.
Okay, well, I'm glad it wasn't alone. As I understood it, in very simple terms, is that you would have 14 different councils in Kent, and you basically put all the population into a pot, which is about 1.9 million, and then you'd split it into three or four authorities, and you'd do the sort of geographical split after that and work out where the services and the contracts would be divvied up after that. So, but that would be no different here, as it would be in Essex or Hampshire or Surrey or Sussex. I think that's what reflects this sort of sense of astonishment and incredulity that Roger Gough and Vince Maple have both expressed in the past week. But can you see advantages to the abolition of all the councils in Kent?
I've always supported the idea and felt it was a sensible idea to have unitary authorities. And what that means is that at the moment we have district councils or borough councils who collect the rubbish and a county council which disposes of the rubbish. And we have those districts are planning authorities, a very important function. The county council's not it can do some planning, but it's not the major planning authority for the areas. And so bringing those together and not having 12 chief executives, not having 12 sets of bureaucrats and so on and so forth, or 14 sets of bureaucrats, as you were saying, made sense and has always made sense to me. And I've always been at odds, or long ago, I was at odds with the Conservative Party because that was initially a Liberal Democrat proposal. And I think I disagreed with it only because it was a Liberal Democrat. Oh, it was a good idea. We now all think it's a good idea. And that will be going ahead. What's not going ahead, and that's called local government reform. What's not going ahead in Kent is the devolution, which is the mayor. And that's the devolution bit where powers would be dropped onto the mayor. And I just, having a mayor.
Okay. But it's not clear yet, from what I can gather, whether Kent will even get a mayor.
No, because the local government reform is separate from the mayoralty.
Mm. It's two different laws, two different processes. I understand that. But for the sake of the listener who's maybe not sort of completely au fait with this, by not getting on the fast track, you're not automatically on the list to get a mayor elected, say, next year, which is the earliest possible.
No, that I'm certain that isn't going to happen. I'm pretty sure that were the government to survive for longer than I hope it does, that we shouldn't get a mayor. We will be getting a mayor at some stage because that's the system that they want to put in throughout the country.
That's definitely in the white paper. That they said that all areas where it is practical and possible to do, to install one, that was the favourite option to have. But that, if you read into it, left a little bit of wriggle room to perhaps not have one. But it would seem bizarre that if you had one in Essex, but you didn't have one in Kent. So it's not. So maybe the government's reasoning and the reasons that they gave for not allowing devolution to go ahead perhaps has more validity than perhaps most of us can see.
Well, if they'd turned everybody down, I could say, well, maybe they've been rethinking the business of mayors, but they haven't. They've accepted everybody except Kent. Kent is the biggest county council shire authority. And as I said, there may be political reasons within the Labour Party and within the Labour government that has got scared about Kent, including what might happen about, what if we get a reform mayor, they might be saying up on Whitehall. What then? Frankly, simply don't know and don't accept their explanation as genuine that it was just because of this disparity between Kent and Medway. To be frank, and to use Roger Goff's word, is utter nonsense.
Okay. The elections on May 1st are going ahead, and that means that there will be 81 seats up for grabs. You're not standing. There's been a lot of gloom on the Tory backbenches of late, and they think that a lot of them think that they're probably going to lose their seats to, various different parties. But obviously the big threat, as you say, comes from reform. Do you think the Tories can retain control?
I expect that Conservatives will keep control of Kent County Council. We've got 60 out of 81 seats, and we would be dishonest if I said we don't necessarily think we're going to hold all of those. But I think we will be the majority. We will have an overall majority and a working majority after the election. And one of the things which encourages us to think that is private polling. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to talk about the details. I'm already, you already alluded to it. I'm not going to talk about the details of that, but it has given us reason to be optimistic.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. You're not going to go into detail about what you know. My understanding is that the polling suggests, and this is not a small sample, by the way, this is quite a large sample. We're talking not hundreds, it's more like thousands and quite a few thousands from what I can gather. And it seems to suggest that Labour is likely to hemorrhage votes to reform, and the reform voters are likely to switch to the Tories, possibly because those reform voters don't think that reform is necessarily ready to take on that kind of challenge in these circumstances at local government. Is that a fair analysis of what you know?
I think that's a reasonable viewpoint. Underlying it, of course, as with every election, is that in the end, we don't know exactly what the electorate's going to decide to do. There are indications that what you just said about Labour support going to reform and some people being a bit hesitant, former Conservatives, I think is a reasonable thing to say. I mean, to be honest about this, we have to look at what happens with the reform. When I first came onto this county council in 2013, UKIP went from nowhere to being the official opposition. They won 17 seats. I don't think we're going to see that. But what reform can do is what you just said about taking votes from Labour. They can also potentially cause other parties to be more successful than they otherwise would have been by taking votes from us in some seats. It may cost us some seats, which reform doesn't actually get itself.
Yeah, the thing that I mentioned earlier about reform voters sort of lending their vote back to the Tories again for a local election because they don't think reform is necessarily equipped to be in local government at the moment, running a local authority, that is. And that actually rings true. I've heard that said on more than one occasion in the last sort of few months. But do you think that, given the ruling Conservatives under Roger Goff have had to make some very, very tough choices and had to take some pretty unpalatable and difficult decisions, cutting services and all the rest of it, does the average voter give the Conservatives credit for having to make those choices and not go bust?
I think that there was a time 18 months ago when everybody was sort of ringing the death knell of Kent County Council. We were going to go bust, we were going to go under. And we've got past that. And I would say, of course, that that's because of the excellent financial management, particularly Peter Oakford, who is our Chancellor of the Exchequer, as it were. I think that the council has had to make difficult decisions, but it's come through with its finances intact. And we have dealt with and continue to deal with one thing which threatens to overwhelm the budget, which is adult social care. And we need to talk to the government about that because the demand is so enormous, the cost is so high. But we've seen reductions, for instance, in a huge cost, which is going out of control in special educational needs home to school transport, where that budget was out of control. So I think people will start to see the sort of traditional conservatives actually know how to run a budget, know how to run a finances and sound money. I think also there's an element, and I'm a strong believer in negativity in politics, that people tend to prefer to vote against something than vote for it. And so the government, having gone off to a very rocky start, as is universally agreed, I think, is going to see itself punished. And that's a national thing that always feeds into local elections. Mm-hmm. And the question, of course, is whether people will turn from Labour or towards the Conservatives or to reform. And that's more difficult to know.
OK, well, whatever happens after May the 1st, you're not going to be at County Hall. You said you're going to fill your days with scuba diving and all the rest of it and doing a bit of travelling with your good lady wife. Will you keep in touch with politics in any way, even in some sort of backroom capacity?
No, I won't be. I won't be active in the backroom capacity. I'm going to retire from politics. I've been doing it for a very long time, including standing for Parliament in Chatham and Aylesford in 2001, and before that, I was the chief spin doctor of the Conservative Party in the 1992 general election. Mm. So it's a long time, and I've decided I was 70 two weeks ago. That's how I'm going to eke out the last bits of my time on Earth, having fun with Corinna and doing the things that we want to do together.
Okay. Listen, look, no matter what happens, Sean, you've graciously agreed to come back to the Kent Politics podcast from time to time to reflect on the county's political landscape. But until, thank you very much and enjoy yourself beyond May the 1st.
Thank you.
Rob, you mentioned a little earlier about Reform UK taking two Medway Council seats and coming second in another one. And you watch these things pretty closely. Did that come as a much of a surprise?
As I sort of said in my main bit, I think yes and no. I think the questions that were raised when we were sort of waiting at the count before the results were announced was sort of what campaigning Operation Reform really had. Labour and the Conservatives are very keen to post on social media all the time when they're going out and doorstepping, and they always have excellent conversations and really positive. That's what they're always saying. Reform don't really do that. There were a couple of posts which they made saying they'd been out on the doorstep, but a lot of their campaigning just sort of went under the radar. They didn't really talk loudly about it. So it was kind of quite hard to judge ahead of time how things were going to go. As I mentioned, the Rochester East has been sort of a safe Labour seat for time immemorial, basically. But, you know, then you think of other factors. It's within the Rochester and Stroud constituency, which voted for Mark Reckless back in 2014. It's been Tory and now is Labour. So there's all these different questions. I mean, I think one of the interesting things was Gillingham South didn't go to Reform. So, I mean, if you had been expecting, you know, with the surge that Reform has had in the national polls, you would think that probably Gillingham South would also be swinging to Reform. So I think the fact that it didn't kind of indicates that maybe Reform are strong in certain places, maybe where they have a ground operation, where they can get people out and mobilise, because the vote share and the turnout in Gillingham South was incredibly low.
But it was significantly higher in proportional terms. In Rochester, it was about 8% more, which even for 24-point-something% in a by-election at any time of the year isn't bad, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. In Gillingham South, the candidate for Reform was Rizvi Raouf, who was the general election candidate for Gillingham and Raynham, and he came third there, sort of a relatively close third. So I think in certain circumstances, you could definitely look at this and say, this is Reform, you know, they're only going upwards. But then if you look at other elements of this, such as a known candidate in a by-election at the same time, the support, there for some reason, people in Gillingham South who like Reform didn't come out and vote in this by-election. Why that is exactly, we don't know. The final thing I'll say is that in Rochester East, although Reform did win that, they only won by 22 votes. It's a slim margin. And if, you know, there are Labour voters who decide, you know, I'm not particularly happy with the way Keir Starmer's going, I'm going to vote for the Greens or vote for the Dems. Each of those parties got up more than 100 votes, I think. So there is still time for Labour to sort of undo this and come back. But it's certainly a bit of a wake-up call.
Yeah, it could be that a bit of tactical vote we might come in. But we'll talk to Sean about that a bit later. What is interesting, you're saying that the poll seems to be showing that it will be Labour that will be the main people who are going to suffer at the hands of Reform, because that polling seems to suggest that around about a third of that vote will simply disappear, and that Reform voters are quite prepared to switch to the Tories because they don't feel as if Reform are ready to be in local government, which is slightly at odds, if they are prepared to vote for the Conservatives, why the Reform vote was so strong in a local by-election, you know, mid-term. It doesn't seem to fit. Sean, you know, you've been having a look at tactical and protest voting. What do you make of it?
Well, I think the current Conservative Party leader probably would agree with that, in that Kemi Badenoch came out not too long ago and said that dismissed Reform as a protest movement, and the suggestion therefore would be that they are a party right at the political centre that want to stand on an anti-immigration platform, and simply the Conservatives move and regain the trust on get on the right. But is that too simplistic a notion, and are we missing the fact that Reform are feeding into a wider sort of populist discontent, and that maybe we're looking at discontent at just not just that, but the system and the wider failing of the two ruling parties, and this will be a hidden ingredient. But whether it will be enough to motivate people to come out of the ballot box next opportunity will remain to be seen.
And it's also said that Reform voters are much more motivated to vote than others because they are actively protest voting, whereas the Conservative Party has still got to get out that more than their core vote in order to try and secure, you know, a win at County Hall. And the Labour Party, well, they're in trouble deep from what I can see. But they might in other circumstances, if Keir Starmer's government was doing quite well and they were making significant progress in terms of challenging what was happening at County Hall, then they were perhaps would have been in a different position. But that doesn't appear to be the case. But we will see on May the 1st. Okay, folks, that's your lot for this week. Next week, we'll be speaking to the former UKIP leader, Henry Bolton. And thanks to Rob and Sean for their contributions today. Don't forget to keep an eye on KentOnline.com/politics for the latest news from across the county. But you also sign up for our newly launched politics briefing newsletter by visiting kentonline.co.uk/newsletters. And don't miss KMTV's politics show every Friday at 5 p.m. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Kent Politics Podcast. Don't forget to check out stories throughout the week on the politics page of Kent Online. And you can watch the Kent Politics Show with Rob Bailey on KMTV every Friday at 5 p.m. or on demand at kmtv.co.uk.
This has been an I Am Listening original podcast. For more information, head over to our website, im-listening.co.uk.